This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I took a few notes, but then like I realized it's not that many notes, so I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, it's not much. An amazing episode. I could just tell by the title; it sounded stupid.
After boom.
After boom.
Well, that should be our cold open.
Oh. La 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 la. Episode 419.
After boom.
It's after boom.
After boom.
After boom.
After boom.
After boom.
After the boom.
Baby boom? No. The regular after. Boom.
It's what comes after. It's what happens after you give boom.
Ew. And you have to clean up the after boom everywhere?
Yes.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
Leave it in.
Leave it to Beaver. Leave it in. Guys, this is our last episode we're recording
ever
before our shows in New York City.
What a roller coaster of a moment.
Our guests got worried. Now we got another like 5 months.
I didn't know who was doing the finale.
What a weird point to stop.
You know what?
After boom.
After boom, the height of the series.
We really don't like the number 420, so we're gonna cut it.
Yeah, we're both Christians and we don't agree with 420. So this is kind of a landmark for the podcast, kind of a turning point, if you will, because we've done shows in LA. They went great. We've done shows in Austin, Texas. They went great. But never have we taken this out to the East Coast. And we don't know if it's going to do well. Oh, by the time this comes... Oh, never mind.
Look,
remind me of something after we record this.
Okay. Write it down, because I've asked you to do that before, and you're just like, oh, no, I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you sell all the tickets? At least for the first show.
For New York... Oh no, yeah, it's not a ticket success I'm worried about. It's about whether we do well.
I'm imagining that I break my leg just before we gotta go, and it's like, we gotta find a surrogate, and like Lauren Graham's like, I think I can do it. And she shows
all right,
up.
You're in, kid.
All right, Lauren, but you better be as good as Timmy. No.
But let's stop gilly gallying around and get to our guest, baby. Yeah.
La, la. Oh,
he didn't like that.
La, la.
Gilly
Gally. Special guest.
What?
Have you said that a bunch?
I've said it a few times.
I don't listen to every episode.
Well, that's pretty clear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Seaman.
Welcome back, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be here.
Hello.
I'm excited to have you.
Hello.
I love being in this show. I love you guys so much.
We love you too. This is your
fourth, right?
Fourth time on the show.
Feeling really competitive with some of the other four Peters.
There's only one other four Peter, isn't there?
No, there's two.
Who's the other?
Isn't Louis been on it for
Jamie
times?
And Trolley.
Louis has only been on it, or Louis has only.
I know. I always say Louis or Louis. I can't
like
remember.
Louis C.K. Louis has been on it three. Trolley's been on it four. Everyone else is either.
Jamie is four.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that SNL sketch of like the
Five Timers Club.
Yeah, none of us are the Five Timers yet.
None of us? Oh, none of y'all.
I've been on it.
Have you had any
Five
Timers?
No, because we
try to do at least like maximum one a season.
Right. So here's what I'm struggling with. What we've been doing on the show is showing promos, playing promos for the episode of the show that we're doing.
Yeah, because you just
are you chewing gum?
I'll take it out.
No, please keep chewing.
I didn't realize how annoying that is. Yeah, like, because somebody pointed you that they were all online, right? Like,
well, there's a few compilations on YouTube, but someone on Twitter who follows the show hooked us up with a big archive of them from like, and the quality of the actual video quality isn't great, but the audio quality is fine.
That's all you need for a
podcast. That's all you need, yeah, right. Except for the live shows and stuff, but even that's fine. So we've been watching them. My struggle right here, Mein Kampf, if you will, is that...
As soon as you said my struggle, I was like, oh no.
Is that... it's kind of a spoiler.
For future episodes?
Yeah. So should I play it?
Yeah, no, play it.
Demi's a smart...
It's probably something
Demi's
I already
smart
know
guy.
About.
Like, he can key into, he's like things Taj Mahari, that are being set up.
Yeah.
Like,
right, I'm exactly like Taj
Mahari. Because I feel like there's... Yeah, this episode's all about setting things up that are going to happen later.
And knocking them down. Guy. Okay, so there's actually... 3 different promos.
Oh, boy. Why do they have so many promos for one episode?
I mean, you play them throughout the week.
But well, usually they're like not much different.
People on the West Coast, like different promos. People on the East Coast.
Oh, that'd be fun if they made them for like different territories.
Yeah, like the East Coast sort of cycle. Like,
Rory
next
tries
week
pizza.
On the Gilmore Girls. Yeah. Like
oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're watching Gilmore Girls over here.
Oh.
Then on the West Coast, it's like,
we're
what's
watching
up,
Gilmore Girls over here.
And then for the South, it'd be, yeah, Gilmore Girls are back in the saddle.
And then the North is like, oh, don't you know the Gilmores are back in town?
Just like the Confederate flag, you'll never get the Gilmore Girls down.
Lorelai will rise again.
Just like the Confederate flag. Woo. Okay, so this is the first promo for this episode of Gilmore Girls.
There are only 4 fresh episodes left this season.
You look beautiful.
The Gilmore Girls make life-changing choices.
You know we're supposed to be together.
And Tuesday, a family unravels.
I just can't believe my parents are separated.
It's all fresh.
There's
Girls.
A lot of spoilers in this one.
Like a lot.
What were they thinking?
A lot.
That's so many promos.
Whose wedding is that?
I don't want to say.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, I think it's Lorelai and Diggers.
And then Luke and Lorelai are dancing at Lorelai and Diggers' wedding?
I like to believe that Lorelai's like, look, I have a solution. You can't sue my parents if you're their son.
Whoa.
Like, she just doesn't know how the law works.
It's called double indemnity.
Yeah. She went to the same school that Jeffrey Tambor's character did. Yeah.
That's not really for the episode specifically. It's for like the last 4 episodes.
But it is for this episode. Like it's for the next Gilmore Girls. Yeah. But they made it an umbrella for. Okay,
yeah,
so
because none of that stuff happens in this episode.
Other than I can't believe my parents are getting a divorce. Yeah. None of that stuff happens.
That doesn't happen in this episode.
The separated thing does.
The separated thing, but she doesn't realize they're getting a divorce.
Oh, she says, I can't believe my parents are separated. Okay, yeah, she doesn't say divorce, my bad. Okay, so this is the second promo for this episode.
It's all fresh on the WB's new Tuesday.
What the?
Only 4 fresh Gilmore Girls left this season, all filled with love, romance, and life-changing decisions.
You know we're supposed to be together.
Fresh Gilmore Girls.
Everyone looks different. Luke looks different and Jess looks different. Yes. They both got different haircuts. Jess's hair looks great.
It's so dumb. Why would you spoil that?
I can't believe you're paying all these promos.
Okay, no.
Those were very similar. Like,
no, but they were slightly different.
The difference was that they had 2 clips from other shows in the beginning.
Yeah, actually, they were very similar. Okay, here's the third one, and the third one is different.
The thing is, when you play all of these, someone at home's like, he's messing with us. These are the same promo. This is a joke we're not getting.
No, here we go.
Okay.
And here's our last time to hear that beautiful string music.
On a fresh girl.
By the way, him saying fresh girls,
yeah,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's creepy.
Here we go.
There are only 4 fresh episodes left this season.
I'm getting my divorce.
What?
Gilmore Girls.
What?
I don't even know what just happened. I couldn't even register that.
The what that Lorelai had was the same reaction we had. Just the what?
What?
Seriously, it feels like at home, I'm sure they're just like, this is a prank. Those are all the same clip.
Not that last one.
No.
I didn't even register what happened in that because while the promo was happening, I started thinking about, like, it'd be really cool if you guys could get that voiceover guy to do promos for your show.
On a fresh
show. Is he dead, though?
Is he?
One of those guys is dead.
Don
Pardo. The inner world
guy.
That's
not Don Pardo.
No, I'm saying one of those guys.
But I don't know if his name is Don Pardo, but is it? Or
it's
is
like
very
Hal.
Similar?
It's Hal something.
Oh. It's pretty similar to that. I don't know if that guy passed away.
Dom
that's
DeLuise?
That's not the inner world
Tom
guy,
DeLuise?
Is it?
father to Michael DeLuise, who plays
TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the guy who does the In the World thing?
Yeah.
In the World?
Is that the guy that passed away? I don't think so.
I think
Fresh Gilmore Girls. Well, there's the In the World guy, but then there's a guy that just like him.
And he passed away too?
Who did it on purpose. I don't know if he passed away.
Wait, did what on purpose? Passed away?
He passed away on purpose.
Oh, no. Weird way to describe it.
No, he emulated his voice the same way on purpose.
We should just get Lake Bell to do all our promos.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
In a world.
Or just to be on the show. Lake, we love you.
Lake?
Yeah.
Lakey, we love you.
Ring, give us a ring, Bell.
You can ring our bell. Ring our bell. Okay, so this episode's 419. After Boom. It's written by Sheila R. Lawrence. Ooh. In the Netflix synopsis, as Lorelai confronts her father when she learns that Jason and Richard have cut their business ties, Luke tells Lorelai that he and Nicole are divorcing.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show, put them in a supercut, play them back, and just say like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
Cool.
Hmm.
Wow. So this is episode 419, After Boom, Pop Goes the Culture.
I thought it was one of those crazy, not-so-funny Billy Crystal at the Oscars kind of jokes.
And of course, I had no idea we were dealing with the Carringtons. All we needed was a swimming pool and some ball gowns to really end the evening right.
Bewitched? I love Bewitched.
Me too. Dr. Bombay was a big influence on me.
It's gonna be me and the Enron boys smoking cigars while their ankle cuffs beep quietly in the background.
Jack Nicholson and Angelina Jolie just kicked us out with parting gifts.
Be prepared to discuss Kafka's The Trial.
Have you tried to talk to Grandma and Grandpa yet?
No.
That's my little Kofi Annan.
My mother finding her inner Timothy Leary and...
Hey, Gil, I think now would be a great time to add a little Matchbox 20 to our sound, don't you? And talk about our Rolling Stones cover. I'm thinking a Garden of Eden theme.
Well, you're holding pretty tightly to your purse there. You look like someone's Tanta Flickman.
He goes everywhere dressed like Zorro.
Hey, do you have any Lucille Balls left?
Yes, I have some balls.
Yes, I have some balls.
Great way to end it.
Luke's look at the yes, I have some balls line is so...
Yeah.
I feel like they never put that much of a point on their jokes. Where it's just
it was very, it was like a dog reaction shot.
They don't really usually have jokes like that. It was very strange.
They've had jokes like that where Lorelai punctuates it by saying dirty, but not generally just like free flying. Double entendres like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, except for the Taylor Tip episode.
I still don't know if that's what it was.
The Taylor Tip.
Damn it, Taylor Tip.
Who's the person with that purse line? I didn't know who that person was.
Tanta Flickman?
Yeah, Tanta Flickman.
That's not a person. I looked it up. I think Tanta is German for aunt.
No.
Maybe Aunt Flickman is a person, but every time I search Tanta Flickman...
It's gotta be somebody. It's not like she's like, you're holding onto your purse like a German aunt. Like, that's not like a phrase.
Oh, wow,
every time, like, every result when I Google it is Gilmore Girls related. Just people going, who is Tanta Flickman?
Oh, really? That's so funny.
Isn't it weird?
So it's like a... It's almost like, who is the real... Like, it's kind of a...
I wonder who it is. I should have looked it up. That's so funny. It's just like all these old message boards that are just like, who's Tanta Flickman?
Yeah, the first one is answers.com. Who is Tanta Flickman?
I like to believe that Amy Sherman Palladino was like, let's just throw some made-up references
just
in there.
Just make something up.
Just to like mess with people, which would be fun.
But Tanta. It's so specific.
It is.
It's
holding
very
on your
specific.
Purse like Tanta Flickman.
And
like,
one of the words is made up.
Like an old German aunt.
You gotta stop being a real German aunt with your stuff.
Hey, whoa, bro. Gosh.
I feel like I've already made this the most irritating episode of Gilmore Guys ever.
No,
we've done solo episodes.
Trust us, this is not the most irritating episode by a long shot. Listeners know that I'm correct. So overall, the big thing, so the divorce storyline kind of got put on hold in the last episode. All Luke did in the last episode was help Kirk find some Easter eggs.
Right.
But all the stuff that was happening during 417, and then he finds the guy's car, and then he kicks the car and gets arrested. Like, it's not followed up at all until this. And this is the end of Luke and Nicole together.
Rip.
This is the rip, rip, hooray. This is finally the end. It seemed so formless and pointless for so long.
Do we get an answer as to what was happening in their apartment with that strange guy that got the socks?
No.
That's so weird because that was so indefinite. And in my head, I was like, no, that's probably not what's happening.
Yeah, it was too vague to But no, there's no answer.
I don't know. Okay. So we just have to assume that Luke was cheating. Or not Luke. Nicole. We have
Luke
to assume.
Would never do that.
I don't know. No, I'm kidding.
Would he?
Nicole was cheating with a sock store owner? Or
a guy who's like, I got to take my sock. I'm going to throw my socks around.
Did you watch
the
show?
I don't remember what happened. With
the sock market guy.
Oh, the sock market crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right into Luke's home.
I don't remember. I don't remember boring things that aren't important, right? Remember the big
like
things.
Like infidelity.
Infidelity is boring to Ben.
No.
Wonder why that is. Just kidding.
Whoa. No.
Do you feel like he fixes toasters on this show constantly?
Who? Luke.
Is this like the third or fourth time he's tried to fix a toaster?
Yeah. When he's not finding Easter eggs, he's fixing toasters.
Those are his two things.
Does he do that in this episode, or are you talking
about?
Yeah,
he's like fixing a toaster oven. No, I wasn't just bringing up toasters for the fun.
I'm trying
of it.
To remember when that happened.
It was like in the first scene of the first act. Okay. He was like trying to fix up a toaster.
Well, it's just like, you know, Law and Order, how like whenever they're being interviewed about stuff, they're always like loading a truck. You know, whenever Luke is talking, he needs
to be fixing
a toaster.
Yeah, I remember that guy. He'd come around fixing toasters.
Christopher Maloney walked into the office and was like, look, I got to fix this toaster. But yeah, I remember Mrs. Patty, you said? Yeah, I know her.
I wish it was Christopher Maloney.
He's got a visit. That's the spinoff I'd like to see. Law and Order and Stars Hollow.
Oh, whoa. Hell yeah.
But all the mysteries would be like pretty low key. Like
it would be like, who stole all the gnomes? Chung chung.
And the answer is always Jess.
Yeah. No, Jess is the person you think it would be, and then it's Dosie.
Oh.
Yeah,
dang.
Jess is the one that like seems too obvious at the beginning. Because you got to have that twist.
Is that how they do Law and Order episodes? There's always like a real obvious guy.
Oh, yeah.
Do they ever follow it that it is the obvious guy until the end?
They might do a double twist where it's like, you think it's the obvious guy, and then they go, oh, no. Like, by the time everyone's learned the formula where it's like, no, it's not the obvious guy ever, then they go, oh, it's not the obvious guy. Everyone knows that. It's this guy. Wait. No, it was the obvious guy all along.
Yeah, I think they might have done that once or twice.
I don't think I've seen a
it.
Full episode of Law and Order.
I've seen
it. Oh, gosh.
Law and Order is another show that my parents are obsessed with.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch it, bro.
Kelly Bishop is on SVU.
Really?
I believe. Yeah.
Like more than one episode or just one episode?
I think she plays two like different characters.
Attorney General or something?
They did that. Sometimes they would have people play different characters because they just like were like, well, it's been like 7 years.
Yeah,
since
and
they
we're
on.
Out of good actors. Yeah,
you're right. Everybody's been on that show.
What's that?
Everybody's been on that show.
It's kind of crazy, right? Everyone who's like based in New York, for
I'm
sure.
I'm surprised we haven't been on that show.
Well, not yet, bro. Yeah.
Well, when we go to New York, maybe we'll be like, hey, what you need a new actor? We'll die on screen.
Hey, you need a new actor? I can be an actor.
Shoot me, Vincent D'Onofrio.
On the way to the mailbox, etc., Luke says that Dougie and Scooter were out of town. Those are his friends, I guess?
Does
Luke have friends?
No. I felt like I was supposed to know who those people were, but I had never knew who they were, and it felt like they were important that we knew that they weren't there. Are they his friends?
Luke has no friends.
Dougie and Scooter.
Those are made up people.
Like the way the people behave on the show, some of the characters, it's like there's no way these people have friends. You know?
I feel like he just watched an episode of Doug and was just like, Doug and Skeeter.
He realized Skeeter was too obvious. Yeah. So he changed to Scooter at the last minute.
Scooter. So those are his friends.
Patty.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of connections here.
Roger.
By the way, I think Jason is so sweet for wanting to try to improve his golf game for Richard to win his trust back. Mm-hmm. I feel for Jason in this episode.
I do, too.
A lot of people.
Even at the end.
Do you like Digger?
I like Digger?
Yeah.
I don't know if I... See, I don't remember people's names. Who's
Jason?
Jason. Why is his name Digger?
Because it's his nickname for... Yeah.
Do I like him? He's okay. I mean, he's better than some other people, but I'm not rooting for them to be together.
Right. But a lot of people find him intolerable or totally garbage.
I like him better than some other people. I like him better than that teacher guy.
Do you like him better than Christopher?
No.
Oh.
I like Christopher the most.
I like Christopher the most. And
you like
I
Christopher like, the most?
I just feel like he's the most compatible with Lorelai. Maybe it's just the chemistry, but like everyone else we see, I'm just kind of like, you guys seem like you'd be good friends. I don't know about a relationship.
Yeah. Christopher and Dean are like the same, and then I think they're like perfect, and then they have to come up with weird reasons that they're not perfect. Yeah. Like they have to
you
like
think Dean is perfect?
Well, not recently, right? Because he's been a real loser lately. But they made him nice, and then they had to come up with reasons that he's a loser, right?
His yeah, I guess in season
marriage 2. Marriage is falling apart. He's dropped out of college or whatever. I don't know what he did.
No, he did those things. Yeah.
But I feel like they make these characters really likable, and then they have to like force a reason that they're
like, they have this problem. Did they do that with Christopher? I guess with Sherry and with the baby.
They did do that with Christopher when he just yells at Rory, and then they're like, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we made him too likable. Now we have to make him unlikable. Whereas, like, people like Jason, you're kind of like, all along the way, you're kind of like, yeah, he's okay. Like,
right.
But, yeah, he really got screwed over this episode.
My opinions on Jason are very episode to episode, where sometimes I'm just like, he's great, and he's good fit for Lorelai. But other times I'm just kind of like, ugh, you guys are really cool together, but there's no romantic chemistry.
Yeah, there's no chemistry.
You just seem like you're like really good improv partner. Just like, wow, your dialogue's on point.
Well, and there's trouble in paradise at the end of this episode.
No, there is.
In Paris Dice? Well, maybe, actually. Eventually.
Does Jason date Paris?
I don't want to give anything away.
Okay, so that's he does not.
That definitely.
What is that face?
Nothing. I'm not making a face.
That would be a terrible story.
Oh my god.
Did you like how Matchbox 20 was once again used as shorthand for shitty music?
Did they do that before?
Yeah,
they made a Rod Thomas joke. I think
they. I think Lindsay liked Matchbox 20. And just was like, gee, oh,
no,
God.
That was Vanessa Carlton. No, Michelle Branch.
Michelle Branch. That's the last episode that I was here for, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was Michelle Branch was a part of a list.
Oh, okay.
Of people.
That singing. People just could. They loved our singing. They just couldn't stop tweeting about it.
Do we have any Matchbox?
Yeah, you got a lot of tweets about it, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll have to figure out something else to sing today.
I don't know any Matchbox 20 songs.
I don't know any either.
3 a.m.?
I didn't say the title won't help. I don't know it.
None of us want to sing that song, though, versus Michelle Branch. Everyone wants to sing that.
It's true.
Yeah, let's sing that Carla Santana song she did.
Damn, it's a hot one.
No,
not that one.
I thought we were talking about Rob Thomas and Santana.
They did sing a song together, and so did Michelle Branch.
Midday Sun.
So Santana really reunited. Like, a lot of people are connected to Santana.
Well, it's just like the ocean under the moon.
Oh, that's
the same sweet emotion that I'm loving you.
So Carlos Santana is like the den mother of shitty music.
Santana featuring Creed?
That was a weird, like, when Laura... Like, she wanted it to be a very dramatic divorce happening, and that she didn't want it to happen in a mailbox, etc. How did you guys feel about that conversation?
I didn't like...
Lorelai should just let Luke do his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let it... Just who cares?
She was
just
so weird about it.
Oh, you need space. You need... No, I don't. Just...
I will say, that was a very Leslie Knope moment of her wanting to make it like, no, you got to feel more about this. And he was just kind of like, no, I just want to get this over with.
Right. That's a little Nopey.
But it doesn't feel right for Lorelai's character. I feel like when Leslie Knope does it, I'm like, no, this is you. Yeah, make it good. When Lorelai does it, I'm like, stop meddling. Let him get this out of the way.
Yeah, she's just kind of being high maintenance rather than
which
like...
might be a double standard for us, but who knows? I don't know if it's just not true to the character or if it's actually a double. I don't know.
Oh, for just like reading as high maintenance? Yeah. I mean, Leslie's high maintenance in some ways.
I don't think it is a double standard. I'm just saying when we point out that two different characters doing the same thing is good for one and bad for the other, maybe it's a double standard, but also I think it's just because Lorelai's character is one way. So when she does it, we're like, stop. Right. When Leslie does it, we're like, that's you, Leslie.
Classic Leslie. Yeah. Let's talk about one of the central conflicts of this episode. I'm going to play a clip, and this is an exchange between Richard and Lorelai.
I'm sorry that I lied to you about dating Jason, but you can't destroy him like this.
I'm hardly destroying him.
You took his entire business. You've left him with nothing. He's talking about moving, leaving.
So what?
So, I'm in a relationship with him.
Then go with him.
You know I can't go with him. I have a business, I have a house, I have Rory. I can't just pick up and leave.
Well, then you've made your choice.
Dad, stop it.
I am tired of this, Lorelai. You've shown absolutely no concern about what happens to me, what happens to your mother. The only thing you care about is what happens to your boyfriend. And the worst part of it is that I never expected you to act any differently.
Whoa.
Rough.
Got a little chilly in here.
That's a Rough Riders roll.
This is tough because...
Who do you side with?
Well, neither of them... Richard in saying that at the end is not incorrect.
No, it's a big burn.
Because Lorelai doesn't even... There's not even the prerequisite, like, I know you and Mom are going through a hard time. I know the business is blah, blah, blah. I know your pension was in danger, and I'm sorry about that, and that's terrible. But... It was just, you know, there was no prelude to it. It was simply, yeah, my boyfriend's in trouble and you're hurting me because of it. And I'm a victim because of it. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it did. It started off with her being like, you can't sue. And then when it got to like, I can't move, I was kind of like, veer back into the right territory.
Right. Yeah. It's not about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like there's nothing about the argument that should be about her, especially because he doesn't really have to move. I think that she was right to say that like he shouldn't be suing her. From an objective standpoint, I think that him going to work with Floyd is probably not a good move, especially since it seems like he's him working with Jason in the first place for revenge was a bad idea, and now him going back to Floyd because the revenge didn't work out. Is like really, really bad.
It's really pathetic in a way. If you really examine it, it's kind of a cowardly move. And like the fact that he's shut in his house, Lorelai comes in and he's reading a book in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Like it, yeah.
The Gilmore family loves to passively aggressively read.
Wait, what are some other... Like, when, I mean, when he reads newspapers, you mean?
No, like when Emily reads after Trix dies because she reads that note.
Oh,
they're just like, I'm not someone I'm going to read this book.
These really interesting characters.
Oh, you wait until I learn.
But yeah, no,
she
I mean this.
She got burned at the end, though. She got burned. She got Richard.
Richard. Oh, gosh. That's a joke on my level. That's what I love.
I'm just trying to get up to your level.
It's a Kevinism. Thank you.
Oh, not that you're getting up to my level, but just on my... Maybe you descended to my level.
You've walked across the hall to Kevin's level.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the Kevin level.
Oh. Just hoping someone will make an embroidery thing that says you just got Richard.
Wow. Well, let's see.
Put it out to your gillies.
I love... Wait, so we haven't talked about this on mic.
All right.
You're not on board with gillies.
I'm not on board with
as
any...
As a label.
No. Here's the thing. If we have to have a fan term, and I'm doing very heavy finger quotes now, gilly is fine. It's not that... It's not that I think there's a better one. It's just as a whole, fan terms make me uncomfortable. Like when people call themselves like cumberbitches, I'm just kind of like, ugh.
Well, cumberbitches is way more derogatory.
Yeah. Not even from the derogatory sense of it. Just like any sort of like, I'm a Whovian or I'm a this. I'm just kind of like, that's too much for me. I'm out.
You don't like any? Are there any that you do like? Do you like Buffy people call them Scoobies, right?
Like Scoobies or the Scooby Gang.
It's literally just like I'm very hard to convince that fandoms are like fun. I can't go to
you have chosen the wrong podcast.
Maybe. But I'm just not
that's
a
our audience.
I know.
It's your audience.
And if you guys ever see me about town, I'm not gonna be like, oh God, Gilmore Girls. Like I like the show, but I can't be the person who's like,
wow,
it's my whole thing. I can't.
Maybe this is the last episode of Gilmore Boy. Guys.
I feel like people know this about me.
Everyone's
I feel like
turn.
Well,
don't turn on me because I'm not on.
How do you feel about like? Would you be upset if people had like a name for fans of you? Like,
oh, they do.
Yeah, and I am upset.
The demigods?
The lemonades?
The lemonades?
I literally wish that you could hook me up to an EKG and see how my body reacts every time you say team lemonades. Because I know that it's like, it's just for fun, but the joke is that it makes me uncomfortable, and it does.
I don't understand that reference, but I guess it's good that I
in
don't.
A Periscope, one time Kevin told everyone to tweet at me and say, you're on Team Lemonade.
Well, that's because a girl on that Periscope commented, like, are we Team Lemonade? And I was like, okay, everyone comment.
Brother.
So it really didn't come from me. I
Team
just
Lemonade?
Well, because his Twitter name is Electro Lemonade.
Oh, Electro Lemonade. Yeah, I forgot about that. All right, cool. Lemonades.
Is that cool.
What a fan of Demi is called, a lemonade?
To me, it just feels, yeah, I think so. To me, it feels like an extension of branding. I mean, some like Twihards and, you know, like there's some.
It's not even just like how good the name is. It's literally just I'm something about fandoms I cannot be a part of. Like emotionally, it does not resonate with me ever. No matter how much I like something, I just have not ever been at a point where I'm just like, I'm part of this fandom. Mm-hmm. I'm like a fan, and then I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to step away.
So if 30 Rock, like if fans of 30 Rock were known as the Rockers.
I would not call myself a rocker. I'd just be like, I'm a fan of 30 Rock. It's not a hatred for them. It's just a, like,
just to be part of a community.
I understand that. And I, look, Godspeed to you all. It is literally just the fact that me as a person feels out of place in that community. I feel like a fraud. Because I'm never enough of a fan where it's just like, really? Emotionally, this is tied to me. It's part of why I can't cry at things. Mm. I don't get like emotion. Like when you cry with Emily things, I'm just kind of like, I'm watching this as a viewer. I don't feel.
You feel like you can't cry even when Bing Bong. Even Bing Bong. Hashtag Bing Bong.
Even hashtag Bing Bong. Yeah. God, if you told me 10 years ago that I'm going to be crying at a thing about someone named Bing Bong, I'd be like, okay, well, that's stupid.
I know, that's what I tweeted when I got out of theater, because I was like a 35-year-old man, and something called Bing Bong made me cry. I was like,
take it to the moon.
Well, what do they call KP fans? Yeah. Porterhouse steaks?
That's so Porter clunky. Up. Porter
oh,
up.
That's your next show. Porter Up.
Porter
where Kevin talks to, just sees what's going on the street.
Oh, yeah, you meet people at steak that's, and you talk
Kevin
about
goes
stuff.
To restaurants.
Oh. Porter Up.
Porter Up.
Porter Up.
I would, yeah, that's kind of like the Doughboys podcast. Have you heard
of
that?
Yeah, but that's like about fast food, you know? Yeah. You could go to like real restaurants.
You got
to
go to 5 stars.
If I did that podcast, I don't know what their theme song is, but I would make the theme song Fast Car, but just fast food.
Not a fast food.
Not a fast food.
I got a French chicken fries.
Yeah,
get Tracy Chapman to sing it.
I wish. Ooh.
Tweet out.
Tracy, what are you up to now?
Tweet out to Tracy Chapman Gillies.
Oh, that's what.
Chapheads, Gillies, get on
I'm just
it.
Gonna
mix it up.
Do a lot of lemonades. Requests from your fan base. What things you want them to do?
They're gonna go. They're
you
gonna...
just got Richard.
So good. So good. I found it interesting, and I don't know if it's out of character, but it's at least interesting that Michelle is very good at travel agents.
Travel agents.
When he was giving the tour, he was like, oh, I'm in my element or whatever.
I loved that. Yeah. I loved seeing that, and I loved seeing Suki being so happy even when her foot was broken, because they're just back.
I'm back, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so good at travel agent stuff. Mm-hmm.
I was so happy for them. I was elated for them just being that.
Why do you think Suki was just... I mean, this show is so weird to me in that, like, they will have people just in one scene and they'll never be in the rest of the episode, and it just seems like they must waste a lot of money, like, to have her break her leg or pop her leg and just be gone for the whole episode.
Well, I feel like they have to pay them regardless. Maybe it's a thing where they have to pay them regardless of whether or not they appear, so they'll put them in for an episode, for a scene just to...
Well, that's what Shear was speculating, because he said, what's her face on Lost said that she got paid every episode because her name is in the credits.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she got paid whether she was in the episode or not, so then they would try to use them. So maybe it was the same thing on this episode where it's like, oh, we got them because we got to hold them and we got to hold their schedule because we don't know which episode is going to use which person. So maybe it's just like, oh, why not? They're around, have them come down for a day. To the
yeah, just so weird because, like, yeah, Michelle, and then
because I agree, if it is a per episode agreement, then it makes no sense. But if they're there anyway and it's kind of like a retainer thing, then might as well.
Right.
And then that just adds to the overall value of the show and production value and world building and stuff. But yeah, that was Suki's only scene, wasn't it?
She just broke her foot.
I didn't hear anything crack this time.
Oh, isn't she cute? I thought Melissa McCarthy looked so cute in this episode.
She
did.
She looks like a
little, just a little ray of sunshine when she's getting in that van going up to the hospital.
I love it. Let's talk about
how sad Lane is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, okay. We'll build it out by, like, you know, the sandwich shop poster, which, by the way, their band still doesn't have a name.
It does on the poster.
It does on
the poster.
If
you look closely,
yeah.
It says Hep Alien on the
poster. Does it actually?
Yeah,
it does.
I was like, when was this revealed?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Oh, that's true. They don't.
Weird. Maybe they put that as a placeholder, as a joke.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe they put it on the flyer as a placeholder?
No, I mean, like, the production crew of Gilmore Girls put on the flyer as a joke.
Maybe. It's like, but it seems like that's a spoiler.
That's a deep joke, though. Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that sandwich flyer joke runner. I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was weird.
I was only not a fan once it became like a minute long of them talking about sandwiches.
Oh, with Kirk, like, okay, so can I bring my own sandwich?
Yeah. I liked that. Yeah. I didn't like the, this is the meatball explosion.
Oh, yeah. That looks like it'll travel well.
Yeah. Yeah, it should have been maybe like a two-joke thing, and it became like a third of the show was joking about
a third of the show.
That's right. Yeah.
One third of the show was devoted to that sandwich flyer.
Sandwich boom.
And then we're supposed to believe that it got beyond the prototype stage and was released as the sandwich poster.
Yeah, that's true.
That nobody else stopped it from happening.
No one in the production line.
And so that was the poster, is that it was just someone drew over that sandwich poster.
Well, Lane's the only one really giving a shit besides Gil, so maybe they just, it was an oversight.
Kinda, yeah.
No, but Gil, it seemed like he was, yeah, he wouldn't have released it like that. Are we to believe that Gil would do
Gil's
that?
Gil's a professional.
Not Gil.
I mean,
he's
after
got
all.
A beautiful wife. He's got a
I'm
happy.
Gil! I almost did a. I almost started a segment called "Pop Goes the Borat," and I was just going to bring in a compilation of every time they say "my wife" in this episode. It's just two times though, so I gave up on the joke.
Oh, that still would have been fun.
I shouldn't have spoiled it. I should have done that for a future episode.
I can cut this out if you want.
Please do.
Okay. Really?
You gonna put it into
you know
another
what?
Episode?
You decide. That doesn't make... No, okay. Don't cut it out.
Do you think that's funny? Tweet at us, Gillies.
Tweet at us, Lemonades, Team Lemonade.
I'm not annoyed when we call our fans Gillies, by the way. I literally get... Like, sometimes I see...
No, you don't have to talk about it
okay,
anymore.
I don't
want
to.
You're digging yourself in a hole.
That's why I don't want
to...
Okay.
Getting too protective about it.
I'm not protective. Okay.
I'm not protective.
I get it. You don't want to feel like you're doing something everyone else is doing, so you got to... Walk away.
Wait, what?
I think it's just like worried that, you know, it's going to be labeled or. I don't know. This is getting weird.
What?
So, I'm in a weird place today.
Are you actually?
No. I just feel like I'm being really confrontational with Demi. Like,
so the sandwich shop.
I'm never coming back. This is my last episode of the Gilmore.
Yeah,
Guys.
I was giving it up for Ben.
No.
His last episode of Gilmore.
Could you imagine if we had, like, if we we said out loud that it was someone's last episode on the show? Like, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, you never know.
Anyways, back to the sandwich shop. I mean, our friends again.
Yeah, we're pals.
Come on, buddy.
But I patted him.
You know what's interesting, though, is we're going to. We don't have to talk about this on air, but just like for the next three seasons after season four, as of right now, we're recording 419 and we've booked 420, 421, 422. Mm-hmm. And so now we're looking ahead at scheduling season five, season six, and then eventually, yes, we're going to do season seven.
Oh, man.
But
it's so hard.
The fact that we're going to, you know, do live shows and stuff. And some of the live shows, depending on where we travel, may not have guests. The slots for guests become very limited now.
It's getting scary.
You know, it's kind of
getting pretty scary.
It's going to be around 60 more guests.
I'd like to believe that we might be able to find guests in different cities, though.
That's true. How did your shout out to the London Gillies go? Did you get some good?
Oh, we got.
Did you get some good British response?
Do you think the Queen is a fan of Gilmore Girls?
The Queen loves the Gilmore Girls.
Do you think the Queen is on Team Rory? Team Logan.
Team Dane.
I love being your friend on Facebook and just seeing, like, things evolve and how. Like, this just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
and
sometimes I
worry about you, and I feel like, Kevin, it's getting too big. Like, are you
really?
Just, well, yeah, because you'll just be like, well, not worried, but, you know, like, it's just interesting how everything's getting bigger. Like, going to New York. Oh, it's not going to be one. Then you'll... Because you'll always sell your shows faster than you expect. And then you'll be like, would everyone be okay if we make it 10 shows? And then your ticket that you bought for 7 o'clock is now at 5 in the morning. Like, and then everyone's like, yeah, we don't care. We love you. And then you're like, great. So then you do like... You know, 10 shows in New York. The first one's at 5 in the morning.
10 shows in New York.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's freaking Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden or something.
Where would you most want to do London? Is that what you think?
London would be rad. But, I mean, it just might be cost prohibitive.
It would be very difficult. Maybe there would be some sponsors. Any sponsors out there, guys?
Like advertising sponsors?
Yeah, like Bangers and Mash or something like that.
Worthington's, Woolworths, hit us up. Safeway, Tesco. I can't think of any other British brands.
Because the problem is, like, I don't know. I mean, London would be right. I feel like we would actually do well in London, just given the response.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be an issue of, like...
Knowing you'd break even.
Yeah, or even like if it's a slight loss, if it's mm-hmm. like, oh, we lost $50,
but
it'd
you
be
got
like,
to go to
we
London.
Went to London.
Got
so
to go to London.
Yeah,
we'll come down and do a show for Debden Day. I'm still thinking of more British things.
Debden Day. Yeah, so I think it'd be worth it. So we're definitely gonna do it. We agreed. Look for tickets, July 9th,
TCBY,
2016.
Yeah, just kidding. This podcast won't exist then.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
So Lane is really sad.
Lane's sad because no one...
Sad episode.
Why did...
I just feel like I have to be in charge of you.
Why did
BBC...
Why did Rory not come to her show?
I don't know. I just thought this episode
she hates
was
rock and roll.
So sad for Lane. Everything was sad happening to her today.
And then it sort of takes a turn for the weird when she goes in and kisses her mom on the forehead.
Oh, you found that to weird. Be... Well, actually, let's back it up a little bit. Let's back it up a little bit more and let me play a clip.
I'm exchange student from Seoul. I'm here for 3 months and Mrs. Kim is my host.
Exchange student, huh?
Yes. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Kim's daughter. She did tell you she had a daughter, right?
Yes.
Well, she does, and it's me, so you can try whatever tricks you want. I will always be her daughter.
Why are you so mad?
Because you stole my life!
I didn't steal your life!
You're living in my room, you're wearing my clothes, and don't tell me you always look like that! I'm not very crazy! How would you like it if I moved into your house? Why don't you just go back home?
Pikachu?
Mrs. Kim and Chun,
you don't have to feel sorry for Mrs. Kim. Mrs. Kim is fine.
Pretty intense.
And so the unnamed Korean exchange student.
I think her name's Kyon.
Is it Kyon?
I think so.
I think it is, but I don't. She's not named in this episode.
Is she in more episodes? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. She's recurring.
Oh, yeah. Kyon returns.
Yeah, Kyon's a big part of season 5.
Really?
She's kind of the villain of season 5.
That is not true.
Okay.
She became the main villain, and she was just like trying to ruin Lane. And, like, had a dartboard with Lane's picture, and she like was throwing darts in it.
And instead of like a rock and roll room, her closet's like a war room. How she's gonna take down the town?
It's like the hand that rocks the cradle. Like she's really there to take over Lane's
life. I would love if it's like she's like, good night, Mrs. Kim. And as soon as the door closes, she reveals that she speaks like flawless English. And she's like, soon Lane will be my soon Lane will be nothing but a speck in her mother's eye. Then it's my turn. And she throws the darts and it hits right in like Lane's eyes.
Right between her eyes. Yeah, that would have been so cool. Yeah, she should have definitely been awake and like been pretending to be asleep when Lane opened the door and like scary music would play.
Kiss that forehead all you want, Kim.
Oh, God.
Soon you won't be kissing anything at all.
That would have made this episode so good.
Well, so after the concert, you know, Zach goes off with his groupies, probably riddled with disease. Gil's with his wife. Brian's with his weird family and the Zorro kid. And so Lane goes home, breaks into her home. Is that technically a crime?
I mean, no. She has to have a key to her house.
Sure, she still has the key.
Yeah. Okay, so not a crime, but comes in, sees Kyon sleeping in her former bed.
Creepy.
And then goes in and kisses it. It was touching. It really did get me.
It was sweet.
But I wasn't thinking about the consequences of, like, this is weird.
Well, I don't think. I don't know. I thought it was sweet. I would do
But
wish...
was that your takeaway, Demi?
I thought it was weird just because... I don't think there's ever a situation where if someone is asleep and you kiss them on the forehead, it's cute. Like, I literally can't think of a situation. I don't know why.
I can.
Like a parent coming in and kissing their child?
Yeah, a daddy. A daddy kissing someone's forehead.
No.
A kiss for daddy.
Oh, you guys are making creepy.
What?
It's all Kevin.
It's okay, Ben. No, don't worry about it.
You should see some of the faces that he's making today.
Yeah, I wish this was a video podcast.
I wish this was a video podcast.
Just to see Kevin.
I don't. Make editing 10 times harder.
Only on your face, though, the whole time. Just one camera.
Yeah, just one angle.
So many memes that could be happening.
More memes.
Meme it up.
That feeling when you blah, 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 blah.
I think
podcast.
When baby kissing on your forehead, like.
Oh, and then Demi acted it out.
Do you Wouldn't it have been sweet or a little bit like more heartfelt if the mom had been like awake and like after Lane shut the door, she like opened her eyes and like had known that she was there?
Oh yeah, yes,
but like
would have
was too like proud to like.
I thought you were gonna say like Lane reaches down and then she like grabs her wrist.
No, that would be scary.
What are you doing here?
But you know that
return
thing,
what
like...
you have stolen from me. Sorry.
But if she knew that she was there and she was like, I don't know why I'm rewriting this episode, but I think...
No, you're clearly more talented than Amy Sherman Palladino is what you're saying. So go ahead, rewrite the episode, Ben.
It should be called Lovers and Liars. And
oh, I still like that. I still like Lovers and Liars.
I'll take back what I said. I think the kiss was not that bad.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking about it. I'm just like...
He talked you out of it. Yeah. Now I just need to change your name to Mount Gillies.
Gillies, baby. Let's get into another storyline via a sound clip. Actually, let's call this... Maybe this will be a segment called... What the hell, Rory? So this is our first segment. First installment of our new segment. What the hell,
Rory?
Thanks for the A. And the redhead has fat thighs.
Oof.
What the hell, Rory?
So weird. What a weird
as much
moment.
As a problem of that part is her just like body shaming a stranger. I for some reason in my head I was just like, Rory, you just got let off the hook. Don't acknowledge it again.
Yeah, what are you doing?
She's poking the bear.
Yeah. It was a weird this is a weird storyline.
So
by the way, I know that redhead.
You do?
Her name is Megan Duffy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And she does have fat thighs.
How do you know old fat thighs?
No. I'm putting a stop to this right now.
No.
Obviously she doesn't. Obviously she's a very cute little actress, and Rory only said that because she's being very mean in this episode.
Yeah, Rory's being very mean in this episode. For like, it's a weird... This is what I like. This is what I like about the character. And actually, from that email from Corey that we read in the last Gilmail, guys.
Oh my gosh, you've got to listen like, to that episode.
You do, man. Guys, shout out to Gilmail, guys. Listen to it. They're fun. And we read your stuff and play your V-mails. Your sweet, sweet V-mails. And one of the things that Corey pointed out is that he doesn't think Rory's a good character until she gets to college and she has agency and starts making choices and starts shedding the good girl image, blah, 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 blah. And this is a part of it, like really going aggressive over Asher. So what's assumed to be the case after Doyle tells Rory, like, oh, yeah, Asher's got a rotation, new girl every year. So Rory gets an A on her paper, and so she assumes that Asher Fleming wants to give her not the A, but the D.
Oh, is that the assumption?
Is that what you thought, too? I thought that maybe it was because he was trying to, like, be in her good graces because Paris is her friend, and, like...
I thought you could read it either way.
I thought what Ben thought, but I think what you think makes more sense, because if the truth of Asher is that he has a new girl every year, he won't care about Paris thinking he's good.
Right.
So he might act... It might be insinuated that he's trying to move on to Rory.
Right.
Ugh, I didn't think about that, and that's worse.
I don't think so. I don't read it that way at all. I feel like that she assumes that she got an A because he's trying to, like, make her like him and, like, not have her... Because, of course, she's squicked out by the whole thing, yeah. Right? So he's, like, trying to be like, hey, I'm a cool guy. Don't try to talk her out of having sex with me.
Yeah.
Much older teacher.
Oh,
because he doesn't do anything sexual with her in any way. And it is weird that after he goes to all these lengths to really give her all these details about her paper and what she did well about it, she is still so crass at the end and says that mean thing about your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Not cool.
What does Rory want from that? Is she just showing off? You know what I mean? By being like, oh, blah, 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 fat thighs. You're a piece of shit. Like, oh, I know a lot of wise women, too, or what a wise and wonderful women.
Oh, yeah, that thing about how Paris thinks that the book was dedicated to her.
Yeah, to the, what? Who else
they've been dating for, like, what, 2 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Like, a book, like, any of our friends that have had books, like... They're pretty much done like a year before they really
and they're,
come out.
They're dedicated to like moms and wives.
Oh, you know what, guys? Get more goof on my part. I thought that they were referring to like he wrote it in her book when he signed it, not the dedication. I just now put that together. That's stupid of me.
Oh no, the dedication in the book. But I think we're to believe that yeah, like he kept it very vague because there's probably a lot of women that he's had.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so Paris thinks it's about him, and that's when yeah, Rory is kind of saying like, I get you. You didn't make your thing specific because you've got a string of whores behind
you. A string of whores. Just impressionable. I loved, by the way, in that scene with the reading of his book, which is called what?
Again? I was going to say Jaglon?
Jaglon, yeah.
What? What is that?
Jag, maybe it's like Babylon, but with the characters from Jag?
Ooh.
Oh, I'd read that.
What
okay,
were you
going
to say
again
about it? That it was like, I was struck by that it seemed to be like a phrase kind of about him, about like an old thing that like seems sinister in some way.
Well, see, I guess you could call me a bit of a Jaglon.
I feel like Jaglon is something you'd call someone who's being an asshole. Like, stop, you're being such a Jaglon.
Hey, Ben?
Yeah.
Knock off being such a Jaglon, bro.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to be such a Jaglon.
I just Googled Jaglon, and it's something from Wizard of Oz?
Jaglon? Okay. Not Jabberwocky?
No, it's something from Karate Kid. Jaglon?
Oh, God.
Jagloff.
No, boo.
Boo! It says the boo guy that's like Richard.
Oh, it no looks like Kevin just got Richard.
That is no Richard, sir.
Oh, so.
Gillies, what do you think? Was Richard better or was Kevin's joke better?
Call us at 772 We Gilly.
Tweet us it's a at real the number. Gilmore Guy Show. And let us know. I think I'm going to win that one.
We'll be gilled to hear from you.
We'll be gilled?
Thrilled. It doesn't work if I have to say.
Man, this really is going to be the last episode.
Oh, brother.
Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Guys, the independent show was canceled.
Oh, in that reading,
yeah,
that it was all young, attractive women. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, Asher. Oh.
Just quivering with yeah, anticipation.
That one MC woman was very attractive as well. Mm-hmm. And she's like, thank you.
Yeah,
Mr.
she
Fleming
was super into it. She definitely, yeah, like, I she was, just want to say foul things about.
She was down to clown.
She was down to clown.
She was the D2C. Asher is dating all of these young students, and apparently it's a secret to no one.
Yeah.
Why is the college not doing anything?
That's interesting. Good point.
Can you do? Is that against the rules?
I feel like it can be like, hey,
it shouldn't be.
Stop
I mean,
I don't think it
I'm
is.
Just fucking irrational somebody man over here. What do you? What say you, Woody?
It should be legal. Everything should be legal.
Okay.
That I want to do.
Wow, seamless impression, so good.
Thank you.
Is this the first time you've done Woody Allen on the show?
Nope. But it sounds like it.
It's his Christopher Walken.
Oh, kinda. And so there's that scene of all the women fawning
yeah,
over
yeah, they really wanted to drag. I mean, sometimes they're not subtle about things, and they really wanted you to know that a sea of women really wanted to have sex with him.
If I wrote a book, what should it be about?
Porter Up.
Yeah.
That's the title. What should it be about?
No, it should be about Porter Up.
I think it should be, yeah, you should, yeah, that'll be a good podcast because this show's only going to go for so long. And then,
wow, Death Wish.
Well, no, just because it ends, and then, like, unless it you're going to go back and do it again, right? Like,
here's what I would do, by the way.
You're going to do Bunheads, right?
Bunhead Bros. But then I would not mind going back and doing a commentary of 101 and how green we are to the yeah process, and then redoing 109 properly.
I would
what happened
do
with 109?
It wasn't that bad.
Was that a big regret episode?
It was a disaster. No, it's just we had a guest that was fun and funny, but we got way off topic, and a lot of people tweeted, I loved your show until 109, or I had to
oh, no
skip it, or blah, 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 blah. But
if
yeah
you had to them.
If you had a podcast where you like, yeah, if you cooked a dish and then you had a guest and you called it Porter Up, I would listen to that.
Porter Up!
You have to say that every time, too.
We should get back. I don't want your guest to. What about this separation? Should we talk about that?
Ooh, let's.
Yeah, so clearly.
Clearly, Jason and
Oh, that's separation.
Well, no, but just that, isn't that, are we to believe that the stuff with Jason is what made Emily?
Yeah,
and,
because Emily goes into Richard's study, yeah, she's like,
Emily
you're
and
gonna
Richard
drive.
Separate, yeah.
Because Emily, and it's funny because it's like, it's a good culmination and it's a great logical progression of her arc the whole mm-hmm. season. Of feeling devalued, mm-hmm. yes, by Jason, and like he dismissed her cocktail party that she wanted to do, but also by Richard, by her husband, and being disregarded in 409 and 416, and really being cast aside,
yeah,
and not having her needs, you know, met and heard, at least.
It was the breaking point.
And so again, like all big dramatic things on this show, it happens off screen that mm-hmm. they say, okay, I guess we'll just sleep in different places tonight or for however long it is, mm-hmm. which leads to the whole dinner, I think, is actually, well, let me play a clip.
I was just kidding, Mom.
Oh, you.
So what's for dessert?
We're not having dessert.
We're not.
I'm on a diet.
Americans are extremely fat.
I think they prefer Rubenesque.
You're not fat, Grandma.
Well, thank you, Lorelai.
She was close.
So tense. I think the thing that I liked the most about the dinner, which I thought was very thoughtful, and maybe this is just me, is that Emily, like, just looked disheveled. Like, she didn't look the way that she normally mm-hmm. looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, her hair wasn't as nice, and her outfit wasn't as nice.
She's
and,
like, a jogging outfit.
It, like, it was just like you could tell that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't look like her composed self. And I thought that was such a great art direction because.
Totally.
It was like you could tell something is up.
Right.
Yeah, the whole way the whole thing was orchestrated, I mean, it was pretty obvious what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it was played, I did not get tired of it. I thought it was funny throughout. I thought the weirdness was earned. I just really thoroughly enjoyed everything to do with the weird dinner. Except, of course, like the blogging at the end. Like the sitcom, like, oh, she's coming. We're 2 feet in front of yeah. her. Let's hide in the bushes. And like, her car's there, but wouldn't Lorelai's car be there if they went? Because they always park in the driveway. So just like stuff like that. All just weird blocking things.
All I could think about when she was walking to her car and they're like, she's coming. I was like, she sees you already. Her yeah. car is 2 feet yeah. in front of the entrance. But whatever.
So dismissive.
Sad. It's the beginning of a big storyline, a big journey.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Sad,
I can't wait.
Man.
It's a sad one. Mm-hmm. It's very real.
Season 5 is going to be crazy.
Because you just want them to be yeah. happy, you know? Mm-hmm. They're such a great couple. But you know what? You know, you never worry that they won't get back together, I think, when I was
Dude,
watching
it, do
I
just, they get like, back together?
Yeah,
well,
do.
Who knows? Okay.
But Timmy
but, you
hasn't
know,
seen it.
But I know, but they're such a great couple. They would never do that to us.
Right. Who are they going to go? Is she going to go to Penland Lot? Nah.
Yeah, and she, Penland Lot's in the credits now. The woman who plays her. Gillette Lot.
I would laugh so hard if the beginning of season 5 starts with like Penland turning and that like sepia tone. Just like, oh,
if you're
no.
on the road. Yeah.
I would love an all Penland. Ah, never mind.
Gillette Lot.
Yeah, Gillette Lot. Pendulum Lift.
Pendulum Lift.
I think they kind of felt like, oh, we got the mother and daughter back together, so now we need to mess up something else. So let's go to the parents, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't separated for very long. You know.
No. They played Jenga with the characters. They pull one brick out, and as soon as they put it back in, they got to pull another one.
Ooh, mm. too true, man. But yeah, it was, you know, the decision at the end that Jason says, I'm going to sue your father. I have to do it. I've gone over everything. And this is the point at which Lorelai claims family loyalty. Mm. I can't be with someone who's suing my father. Does that make sense?
Nope. Remember also.
It's very hard, yeah.
Their relationship started to spite Emily, and then it spiraled away from there. Like, something about it felt like the decision to leave Jason should have been drawn out over a little bit more time.
Than just one scene.
Yeah.
Literally one scene.
I don't know. Something about it just didn't feel right to me. Like, it was just, they were fine, and then one thing happened, and they're like, no, you can't see my parents, I'm gone. But I hate criticisms like this because it feels like me just going, well, here's how I would have done it, or here's how other
no,
shows should have done
it. No, but it's worth talking about.
It just didn't resonate with me that's how she left. It was too calm, it was too... underplayed. It felt like not a real, like it felt like a very real reason to leave, but I felt like she would have just been like, oh, well, the solution is for me to go. Because she was fighting for him before.
Do you think that speaks to the nature of their relationship, though? Because they don't have a deep relationship.
I think it speaks to the nature of how I felt about the relationship, but they were ready to exchange keys. I don't know if...
True.
Well, if you were Lorelai, you just came talking to your dad, and you told your dad, don't do this. And he was like, I'm going to do it anyways. And then you were rebuffed. And then you meet with this guy. Like, you know, like, she can't change your dad. Like, and she just had a tense relationship with them, and they finally were patching things up. And then this is a guy she's only been seeing for a little bit. And right off the heels of it, this guy is like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyways, too. So she said two men, not listen to her feelings. Of course, she's going to break up with him.
We need more men.
I was going to say the same thing you were. Listen to your men, ladies.
Oh, listen to your men.
Joking, obviously. That's where you were going.
Damn it, I would never say that. I would never say listen to
you. Don't give me that wispy face. I would never say that. Ladies, I don't think you should listen to anybody, including us.
Oh, that's true.
It's our last episode.
This is the episode where everyone's just like, Demi's been weirdly dismissive.
This is a dark episode.
Well, we do want to do a call-in episode where we give relationship advice.
That would be so
based
fun.
Off of Gilmore Girls. Or?
Yeah, sure. Oh, you know what? I had
anything else? Yeah, to talk about.
I had a line from the last episode that I just wanted to play that I didn't get to.
If you'd order through me, you wouldn't be experiencing this psychological trauma.
Just Tom being hilarious.
Another thing from the last episode that I didn't get to mention. Rory's laughter at one of Lorelai's jokes at the dinner was weird.
It was like, ah!
Yeah,
oh, it was like, the Bob thing.
What thing?
I think it was the Bob thing about, like, oh, Bob the one-man company.
Oh, yeah.
It was that, right?
Not funny enough to sustain a I-can't-hold-my-laughter laugh, especially from Rory, who never laughs at her mom's jokes.
Yeah, that's the hard thing about laughter on this show is because... it's so fast paced and so witty and blah blah blah. There's no time for laughter. Mm-hmm. Like there's no audience surrogate for like, oh, that's a funny joke, Luke, or whatever it is. So whenever they do, it really sticks out. And it's like, you didn't laugh at those 20 funny things, but this is the one that really gets you. It always strikes me weird. Yeah. It's hard to do in a comedy. Like anytime someone's saying something funny and people are laughing, like, ah, it's funny. There's always some like suspension of disbelief.
Everyone in a comedy is always just as funny as everyone else.
Yeah.
So no one laughs.
I was watching that catastrophe show on Amazon, and that's interesting just because I've heard a couple people say that.
Oh, Mr. Delaney?
When they tell jokes, like a lot of times the other characters laugh. And so it's like one of those few shows where people actually respond to it.
Is it good?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's great. I like it.
Heard great things about it.
It's a great show. You should check it out.
Everyone says it's the rom-com we've been waiting for.
A smart, sexy, and seriously funny comedy.
Is that the ad copy?
No, Peter Travers says that for like every movie.
That's funny.
It sounds like, yeah, you could say that about
it. It's on the cover of 500 Days of Summer and Eternal Sunshine.
Both of those?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Which I didn't know that.
That's not good for Eternal Sunshine.
No, that doesn't fit at all.
It's not a sexy comedy.
Sexy, seriously funny.
Let's get into some Twitter Q&A, baby.
Twitter Q&A.
Jennifer asks, Zach complains about Gil lifting his shirt during the band show, but Zach's own shirt is entirely unbuttoned. It's not a question, but okay.
It's a good comment, though.
Yeah, it is a good comment.
Don't you?
If Gil can lift his shirt while playing the guitar, more power to him. Gil can do it all.
Jen asks, so did Rory really deserve the A? I think the idea is, yes, she did. Like, Asher, that wasn't a move he was doing.
Sounds like she did, because he really goes into detail about what was good about her paper.
Right. In a way that doesn't sound, false.
Yeah. Great question, Jen.
Someone says, Ariana asks, did you hit any traffic? How's school? In reference to the fact that they asked that five times at the door.
Oh,
did I was traffic?
Like, oh, no, I live very close to here. That's funny. I that dinner was so perfectly awkward, and I think it was really well done. I honestly did not see the separation thing coming until the dinner was ending.
Really?
When they come in, or when Emily comes, I didn't see it when Richard comes in, and when Emily comes in, I was like, oh, something's up mm-hmm. between them. Yeah. But I thought maybe it was like they're frazzled because of something that's happening. I didn't necessarily think they're separated.
It's interesting. Cool, it's a cool way to do it. You're right. Like, it's cool to do those things kind of off screen and like, have us watch that dinner and be like, what's going on? It's just because, like, the making the drinks was so awkward. All the stuff with the maid was awkward. Mm-hmm. She got a little
dropping the ice cubes. Yeah. It was all very, and very it wasn't well too, like, whoa, like they're falling down.
Yeah, it wasn't just too like, much. It was just,
they're so not in their roles and in their comfort zones. Even like the woman saying, like, dinner's ready at 7. And they're like, already? But dinner's always at 7. You know what I mean? Like, dinner is all the time at 7 on Friday nights.
Yeah, it just seems like something that parents might do to, like, pretend to be together before they talk to their child about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think the separation feels justified right now? Because maybe it's just I have a problem getting behind these big events without feeling like I understand them myself, but something about, because the separation seems like it's directly stemming from Richard's decision to do like this business move,
right? Oh,
KP seems to think so. He said a bunch of stuff. You gave a bunch of reasons, right? Like that she's been feeling.
Well, it's
undermined.
The culmination of the arc. I think it's like it's the last straw. It's not this
nowhere.
Business decision. Yeah. I think it's Emily feeling slighted and made to be insignificant for a whole season.
Yeah, I wish maybe it happens in the next episode, but I feel like they need to spell that out. Just because it happens in conjunction with the business stuff.
Right.
I kind of feel, maybe it's also just the way that we watch it, where we watch 2 episodes at a time, and all the stuff that really would have caused Emily to feel distraught happened like 5 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the seeing, maybe like having, like seeing them talk and go like, Richard, you don't listen to me anymore. You're clearly like passive in this relationship. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's when I'd be like, oh, the separation is justified and real. But having it be on the back end of a discussion like, you're not doing, like, this isn't a good way to do business, and him going, like, I know how to do business is, like, it makes it seem like it's about that instead of a culmination of everything.
Gotcha.
But again, probably just the way that...
Because there's not super expositional dialogue saying all those things. Like, Richard, I feel this. Well, I feel this. Well, then let's separate, you know.
And it's also not fair for me to... at sometimes say like they should stop spelling things out and then just come here and be like, no, they got to spell this out for everyone.
No, but sometimes like different stories call for different moments to be hit on the head. Like the dialogue in the last part of 418 was super on the nose expository, like, great. And so our plan is in motion.
I hated that.
Yeah. It was just very like, here you go, audience. This is what it is.
Any more Twitter cues or,
you
AIDS?
Know, there's a, I get a lot. Oh, Austin said, what would be on the version? Austin said, what would be on the version of your band flyer?
All right. Well, first off, I'm stealing all my flyers from a Whole Foods. So there's going to be just a head of lettuce in the top corner.
All right.
And then it's going to say, what is my band name? Nervous Karate.
All right. We're Nervous Karate.
We're Nervous Karate. None of us are British. 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's saying, we're going to be playing at Madison Square Garden on the 5th, outside of Madison Square Garden, like on the sidewalk. So come and drop a dollar in the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
PhotoGal26, did you have a band flyer idea?
No.
Ben's like, no, that's trash.
I can't think of a great band name.
Okay. I can't either. That's why I said Nervous Karate.
Fair, fair, fair. So, PhotoGal26 asks, fashion report, Lorelai looks unbelievable in practically every scene the last few episodes of season 4.
Marvelous.
Discuss the hotness.
Should we get into it?
I don't have that many items, but let's do it anyway.
I have one thing.
Okay.
Fashion. Yo, Lane, what the fuck is up with your tie?
That was mine!
You just didn't like that she was wearing a tie?
It was an unbuttoned, like, too big.
And it wasn't with a buttoned shirt, even, was it? It was, like, with a polo? Or was it even, like, a t-shirt? It
seems like a rock and roll thing, but it also reminded me of the big suit from Stop Making Sense with
Talking Heads.
Talking Heads,
yeah. David Byrne.
Poor Lane.
Yeah,
she's, yeah, poor Lynn.
She had a lot of sad things happen this episode.
Including that tie, am I right?
Hey-ho.
Kelly called out.
Keon, you want to start pulling some strings? How about you try and pull that tie together?
Oh, terrible.
And then my other item was love Lorelai's business get up.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing her back in power suit.
Yeah, me too. That's all I had.
Yep.
Okay. Fashion. Should we write the episode?
Oh, are we there already?
I mean, what?
What else?
Do you have any stray observations?
Nothing else. I'm trying to think of anything in the episode that we missed.
What else would we talk about? I wish I had. I don't know what happened to my list.
Let's watch the episode again real quick and just make sure.
I'll edit out this next part.
Okay. Wow, no, there was nothing we missed.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Sandwich flyer.
Oh, the deer. Oh, the entire deer. Well, that's the travel agents thing. Again.
Oh, yeah. Just a random shot of a deer.
Sure. Which is weird for this show. What were you going to say?
That must have cost a lot.
I know.
It was. It looked like weird stock footage like that they had purchased.
It could have just been
but
that,
it
yeah.
was. But no, it was on the outside set for the Dragonfly Inn. It really was there.
Then they got that deer for like so very little payoff, right?
Yeah.
Like they just like mentioned the deer. They showed, because it's so, you know, these shows like unless you're outside for the set, it's just weird to show a weird outside thing when you know they're like on a set otherwise.
But Amy P was like, I'm getting my deer one way or another in this show.
Yeah.
And you cannot stop me. Yeah. She knows what she wants. She knows what she likes.
Notice that we didn't.
Oh, well, what did we feel about that Zorro character? We didn't talk about it. I thought that was such a weird joke.
He's my favorite character on the show so far.
I love him because he fights for justice.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a weird joke to be like, I have a cousin that dresses up like Zorro when he's 16.
It wasn't an accessible joke. It was like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
I thought it was pretty weird.
Yeah.
It was weird, and I thought, like, is this like a mental illness thing? Because it made me think No?
I don't think so.
Or maybe like a somewhere on the autistic spectrum thing.
Yeah, normal people don't do that. Just a little, yeah.
Well,
I think it was
I'm not going to use the word normal people to describe not... Anyway, that's just... Never mind.
What do you think that Demi meant, Gillies?
Me? You're the one who said normal.
Wait, is it the Gilmore Guys show?
You're the one who said normal.
Whoa.
No. It reminded me of the movie Frank with Michael Fassbender, how he has to wear that head.
I want to watch that.
So it's very good. I loved it. So that's going to be my plug for the day.
A lot of similarities between this and that movie.
I think...
Music?
Yeah, I think there should have just been, if he was going to be in it, he should be in it just a little bit more. It's weird to, like, kind of reference a character like that.
They rented a deer and a Zorro suit for this one episode.
I bet, like, this episode came at the end of their, like, financial, like, the how much money they had. Yeah. And they had to spend a certain
amount
of money.
We got 30 grand extra.
Or else they're going to lose
that
it.
Deer.
Get that deer, get that Zorro costume.
For $15,000 each.
Also, let's get a minivan with the Dragonfly Inn logo on it.
Yeah, the logo's already on it. Which, that is the logo for their inn. That what becomes the logo
it
for
It is,
inn.
And they haven't even opened it yet, and they already have a van. Already have a van.
I'm glad the inn is coming together.
I know. Isn't it's that cool, great? Like, it even seeing that set. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of shows where, like, because that gets set up pretty early on, like, right in, like, in the second season or something.
That they want to open up their own
inn. That they want to open their own
inn.
Maybe
in the first season.
It takes such a long time to actually happen. Mm-hmm. Like, other things on this show, right?
Am I right, ladies?
Are we talking about? We know what we're talking about. Maybe it's going to happen pretty soon. Maybe the promos. Give a little.
Oh,
little
having hint. Sex. I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh.
No, we're just talking about a little smoochy smoochy
or something.
Perhaps
a little true love.
Are Dean and Lorelai going to kiss?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, finally.
I don't mind spending every day.
I would love for it to be like the next episode starts with Lorelai leaving the diner, and she runs into Dean. And he's like, "Hey, Miss Gilmore," and she's like, "I can't talk right now. Why? What's up?"
He doesn't say Miss Gilmore. He says, "Hey,
Lorelai."
Yeah,
Dean, is this your Gilmore Girls fanfic that you're
writing? This is my fanfic. So she's like, "I can't talk right now. I just ended things with Jason," and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It wasn't going good at the end there," and he's just like, Do you want to talk about it? So they go somewhere and sit down and talk about it.
And then
it's getting sexy.
And then what happens?
Then you hit the music cue.
I don't have a music cue.
Okay. So they sit down at Weston's Bakery. They split a pie. Dean gets the cherry, and he goes, "Hey, cherry pie, I know your favorite." And she's like, "How do you know?" It's like, "Well, I spend a lot of time around your house. I see coupons for things, you know? I see coupons for cherry pie here, cherry pie there." And she, she goes, "You know, that's funny. Digger never once noticed that kind of stuff." And it's like, "Yeah, maybe you need to be with someone who notices the things about you that make you, you, you know?" And she's like, "Yeah, maybe I do." "Like who?" "I don't know, like me." And then he leans in and kiss. He kissed.
And they kissed.
They kissed.
Wow. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
Wasn't it?
You did such a good job. What a great... Have you taken a UCB improv class?
From you?
Well, if I took it from me, it would have been even better than that. But that was pretty great.
I had one class with you.
Step aside, E.L. James.
Did you? I think I might have subbed you. I didn't...
No,
I
you didn't sub me. I took a makeup with you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I hope that you liked me.
Yeah.
That made me just think that I just realized that, like, I... tried to write like Dawson's Creek fan fiction a really long time ago.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to.
And all I remember is like, but it was like, I'm trying to remember now. I think it was just something where it was like supposed to be between Pacey and Dawson. Like they didn't like, you know, like gay stuff or whatever. But it wasn't like sex fiction, but.
Just like.
Slash fic.
Some nice slash story. Fic.
It was just like a nice story.
It was about the characters.
It's about the characters.
It was about the characters all along.
It was just a spec script.
It was a spec script.
Should we rate the episode?
Let's.
Yeah. Okay. I liked it, but it was after such a high of 418. It's just kind of the aftermath. Nothing wrong with it. Yeah, it was the afterbirth. Afterboom. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10. Dear.
I agree with you that this is coming off the heels of 418. It's kind of hard to do an episode that's as intense. It's so weird to describe 418 as intense because the intensity of it is legal talk. It's them like talking right. about non-compete clauses and stuff. But I found it so fascinating. This episode, I really loved the stuff with Richard and Emily. I thought it was done really well. Even the scene of Lorelai talking to Richard, but somehow the Lorelai Jason stuff didn't hit as well as I think they wanted it to for me. So I'm going to give this episode 7 out of 10. Cherry poppin' deanies.
Cherry poppin' deanies.
Cherry pie pindinis.
I love that your
rating system is from your...
That's right.
Your specific coupons for cherry pie and like not other flavors of pie.
I don't know how...
Sure.
Yeah. Set up coupons for cherry pie.
I like to set up my own joke in the future by making another joke.
Hell yeah.
No, that's just cheap.
Benjamin.
I thought it was okay. No. I didn't think it was great. I mean, it set up a lot of things to happen, and, you know, it did what it needed to do, because I would guess, you know, all the stuff that's going to happen in the last couple of fresh episodes of season 4.
A couple of fresh girls.
That's pretty gross. So, I give it a 7 out of...
Lean closer to your microphone.
7 out of 10 breakfast food stamps.
Wait, who used that?
What? The breakfast, when you went into the mailbox, etc., right?
That's right.
There was a big discussion about different stamps.
I thought you were saying Lorelai was so broke she was on food stamps.
Yeah. Breakfast
no,
food
it was
stamps.
Breakfast foods. Like, she was really excited about it.
Got it.
This episode was a third talking about Bewitched, and then a third talking about, what was the other thing that I said it was all about?
Sandwich flyers.
Sandwich flyers.
Lorelai, we don't accept EBT here.
And then like a third of Lane being sad. So pretty much.
Now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Where can people find you, Ben?
I'm at BenjaminJS on Twitter. Tweet at me, Gillies.
Gillies. Gilly Nation.
Hit them up, Gillheads.
Gillheads.
Where my Moreheads
I feel
at?
Like all the people that liked me now don't like me
Yo,
anymore.
Gildos.
Oh, no.
No? Okay.
Gildo Gaggins.
Oh, Gildo Gaggins is. You can find me at Kevin T. Porter.
You can find me at Electra Lemon. Be sure to catch Frank on DVD.
What, did you have anything to do with that?
No.
Not on Netflix on DVD, huh?
No, buy it on DVD. So
is it even
money.
Available on DVD?
It is. I watched it on Netflix the other day.
But is it available on DVD is what I'm saying.
Yeah, if it's on Netflix, it's on DVD.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's always true.
Well, what
is Orange is the New Black on DVD?
Yes.
Ooh.
It is?
It is.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it can't be.
What do you mean it can't be? Seasons 1 and 2 are available on DVD.
But season 3?
No, but that's because it's currently airing, finger quotes. It's like just come out. They want to get that traffic first. What is this? Is this like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire pre-music?
Demi.
Is this Moby?
It can't be on DVD.
It can be.
It can't be.
Soon I will rise up and take over Lane Kim's spot as the new heir to the Kim threshold. And then they will all see.
I am Keon, god of rage.
I will strike down with furious anger and rapidious might on she who has defied me, the one they call Lane Kim. What was that?
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. I will follow
anywhere
that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh!
Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
I like that song.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.